What's the most difficult part of teaching poetry for you?
I think it has to do with something in my own experience. Growing up and how I was taught poetry, it was this very rarefied, pretentious thing, and I had this idea that it was just for really smart people, and it was impenetrable, a puzzle to figure out. And I also didn't understand what the relevance of a poem was. So I have to break the students of all these bad habits they have. They've been taught, honestly. Something like the 5-paragraph theme essay. That's the only way they think they know how to write an essay. Well, poems, they're not puzzles. If you look closely, it's all right there, but you have to pay enough attention to it. Sit down and pay attention. That takes some practice.
And fear, the fear of poetry is out there too, you know, that I won't understand it, that I won't get it.
Right. And, you know, what does it really mean? That's the question. Well, what, mm-hmm. the hidden meaning, there are no hidden meanings. I tell my students, there are no hidden meanings. Just means you haven't looked close enough because you're not practiced in reading poems. It's like any other endeavor. You have to be accustomed to its conventions and rules. And if you can start to see that, it's no different than learning any kind of game, if you will.
One of the things I love in this book is that you stress the importance of reading poetry aloud. And it's the way it was meant to be experienced originally. And, you know, whenever I read a book of poems, I read it aloud. So I'm kind of wandering around my house reading to the dogs. My dogs know a lot about poetry, actually. And I think that's something that is a great pleasure in life that people deny themselves, don't you think?
I think, again, as kids, we're kind of taught to not read aloud, to sub-vocalize, or you're reading aloud again, right? You're supposed to read to yourself silently, right?
Yeah.
It's a big mistake. I read prose to myself, too, like aloud. It somehow, it gets, your ear picks up on things your mind doesn't, and especially poems, I think students just forget. So sometimes, well, oftentimes in class, we'll read a poem, and in fact, I won't ask for volunteers, because I cannot stand asking for volunteers, because I never liked to volunteer as a kid, right?
Right.
Or a student in college. So I just do this thing, I say, okay, we're going to have a Quaker meeting right now. And so I have to tell them about Quakers. My grandfather was a Quaker, and at Quaker meeting, there's no set agenda. You just go in, and the men are on one side, women are on the other. But you go in, and you're moved to speak. So we just sit there in silence until someone in the class is moved to utter the poem, and sometimes 2 or 3 students at one time. Sometimes we sit there for 2 or 3 minutes in silence, which is kind of beautiful, too.
It is. And then you have a lot about Walt Whitman in this book.
Walt Whitman, another love-hate relationship, you know. I mean, it's funny you mentioned, you know, I'm glad you said the book is generous, because sometimes I feel like what motivates me is I see a poem I don't like in The New Yorker or something, and it's a little thorn in my side to keep me writing and working.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, you know, I do love tons of poems. Walt Whitman, of course, I was just teaching Song of Myself.
I love it when you go, Song of Myself is really Song of Others, which it is.
Right. It's this epic of the self, and yet he, you know, the self contains multitudes, which is both a positive and negative thing, I think, when you realize that.
Yes.